The mystery of the Holy Trinity is one of the fundamental doctrines of Christianity and the greatest mystery of our faith, namely, that there are three divine persons sharing the same divine nature in one God. We have the Father, who is the Creator, the Son, who is the Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, who is the Sanctifier and the Counselor. All the official prayers of the Church, including the Holy Mass and the sacraments, begin with an address to the Holy Trinity, namely saying, "In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." We are baptized, our sins are absolved, and we are anointed in the name of Blessed Trinity. We bless ourselves with the sign of the cross, invoking the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And we conclude our prayers, glorifying the eternal Holy Trinity, saying, "Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Amen." Today's Gospel tells us that, returning to the Father, Jesus completed his mission on earth. But just before the ascension, Jesus entrusted to his disciples the mission of preaching and teaching the good news and evangelizing the whole world by bearing witness to him through their lives. Jesus also ordered them to baptize believers in the name of the Holy Trinity, saying, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." In the descriptions of Christ after the resurrection, we are given a hint of what life will be like in heaven. But it is in Jesus' ascension that we see him entering fully into the life and glory of God. The prospect of sharing in that glory should be the driving force in our lives. The oldest doctrinal formulation of the Church's belief in the Trinity is found in the Apostles' Creed, which has served both as the basis of instruction for catechumens and as the baptismal confession of faith since the 2nd century. Later, the Nicene Creed, originating at the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD, stated the doctrine more explicitly. This creed was introduced into our Western liturgy by the Regional Council of Toledo in 589 AD. God has revealed to us three separate functions that are attributed to the three persons. He has told us that it is proper to attribute to God the Father the work of creation, to God the Son the work of redemption, and to God the Holy Spirit the work of sanctification. Our knowledge of God as Trinity is made possible by God, who has chosen to reveal himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As Father, God has brought forth the created universe, including our own being. As the Father's only begotten Son incarnate, Jesus, God has made known one who hears our cries, who cares, who counts the hairs on our head, and who loves us so passionately that he became one of us in order to suffer for our sins and even to die for us, that we may live forever in him. As Spirit, God remains with us and within us, guiding, protecting, comforting, instructing, and defending us throughout our lives here, that we may be one with God forever. When we come to the Old Testament, we see, since Yahweh, the God of Israel, was careful to protect his chosen people from the pagan practice of worshipping several gods, the Old Testament books give only indirect and passing references to the Trinity, and the Jewish rabbis never understood them as references to the Holy Trinity. For example, when we take Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it presents God speaking to himself, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." Whereas we read Genesis chapter 18, verse 2, describes how Yahweh visited Abraham under the appearance of three men, and even that the Russian Orthodox Church celebrates as the Trinitarian experience of Abraham. In Genesis chapter 11, verse 7, comes before punishing the proud builders of the Tower of Babel, God says, "Come, let us go down among them and confuse their language." These passages imply rather than state the doctrine of the Trinity. The New Testament Annunciation describes how God the Father sent the Archangel Gabriel to Mary to announce to her that God the Holy Spirit would come upon her, that the power of the Most High would overshadow her, that the Son would be made flesh in her womb. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. During the baptism of Jesus, in Matthew chapter 3, the Holy Spirit is shown descending on Jesus in the form of a dove, while the voice of God the Father is heard from the clouds saying, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So what do we learn from this Feast of Trinity? Our living belief in the presence of the Triune God within us should help us to esteem ourselves as God's holy dwelling place, to behave well in His holy presence, and to lead purer and holy lives, practicing acts of justice and charity. This Triune presence should also encourage us to respect and honor others as temple of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, our own awareness and conviction of the presence of God within us give us the strength to face the manifold problems of life with Christian courage. It was such a conviction that prompted the early Christian martyrs being taken to their execution to shout the heroic prayer of faith from the Psalms, "The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge." Thirdly, we are created in love to be a community of loving persons, just as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one in love. The love, unity, and joy in the relationship among the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit should be the supreme model of our relationship within our Christian families. Fourthly, we are called to become more like the Triune God through all our relationships. We are made in God's image and likeness. Just as God is God only a Trinitarian relationship, so we can be fully human only as one member of a relationship with three partners. Like God the Father, we are called upon to be productive and creative persons by contributing to the building up of the fabric of life and love in our family, our church, our community, and our nation. Like God the Son, we are called to a life of sacrificial love and service so that we may help Him to reconcile people with each other and with God, to be peacemakers, to put back together that which has been broken, and to restore what has been shattered. Lastly, like God the Holy Spirit, we are called with the help to uncover and teach truth and to dispel ignorance.